What is going on, everybody, and welcome to Baseball Insiders Prospect Edition. My name is Eric Cole, MLB staff writer and prospect guy, and it is July 14th on a Monday. Now, you may be asking yourself, why are we having a prospect show on a Monday, and why is it happening at 10 a.m. Eastern? And you may also be wondering where my co-host Adam Weinrib is. As it turns out, these things are related. Adam is at the All-Star Game facilities right now. He managed to get on a flight, and he's going to be providing some video content. Make sure you keep an eye on this feed here for some of his shorts, as well as any interviews that he can get his hands on, as that content's going to be forthcoming. But that meant that because he was flying in this morning, he wasn't able to do the show today, but we want to make sure we still got some prospect content out for you with the draft going on, as well as the Futures game from this weekend. So here I am, and unfortunately you have to suffer through me this morning, but hopefully we'll get some good information for you guys. Now, the big news, obviously, from this weekend was the start of the draft, which the first day was rounds 1 through 3, yes, last night. And it started off with immediate chaos when we have Eli White being picked first overall, and Tyler Bremner going number two. Now Willits had been talked about as a potential number one overall pick if they were, the Nationals were wanting to save some money with that pick and spread money around. That turns out to be the case. We've heard numbers where like the Nationals are saving somewhere between $2 and $3 million with that pick. Not 100% sure. We don't have that exact number yet in terms of reporting. But again, we can probably expect that the Nationals are going to try to spend their bonus pool around. The Bremner one was surprising. He's a very good arm, but he was mostly in that 12 to 14 range in mock drafts. But it seems like, again, the Angels wanted to get someone that is going to be close to major league ready, that could move quickly, but would also save them some money. You draft Bremner, and then you spread the money around. And again, we'll see if that's actually how it plays out and whether or not it works well. But you know, it's immediately things got weird. But what was funny was that once you got towards the end of the top 10, most of the top 10 were the guys that we thought were going to go, even if the order wasn't quite right. Kate Anderson went number 3. You see Liam Doyle go in the top 5. Ethan Holliday goes to the Rockies. That's kind of a big sort of storyline in terms of his family bloodlines with his dad also playing for the Rockies way back when. The only name that fell out of the top 10 that was surprising to me was Jamie Arnold from LSU. One of the better, not LSU, FSU. He fell to the A's at 11, and frankly, the A's are probably thrilled that this happened. Arnold is kind of, again, there was just so many college arms and particularly college lefties that I think that he just kind of fell victim of just being in a very crowded demographic. And again, going at 11 is not something that is going to be something that he's upset about necessarily. He's probably going to get close to full slot there since he was considered by some to be even a contender for the number one overall pick. Beyond that, the first round was interesting in that we didn't see anything super crazy happen, or at least some things that we didn't understand. The notable exception is the Detroit Tigers, who are really up to some shenanigans, it seems like. They made a couple really weird picks early on. And there are some who just think that the Tigers are missing the boat, or that they, you know, have just flat out messed up and were not looking at talent the way they should have. But I think what's more likely is that they're kind of doing that same sort of underslot sort of play where they find guys that they like that they can sell for less than slot. And then maybe on day two here, which starts in about an hour and a half, they can spend that money, maybe possibly going on some young pitchers that rounds 4 through 9 range and go over slot on the guys that they might like, kick them away from a really tough college commitment, and then kind of build up their system that way. Again, really strange draft so far, but I think once we get to the end of it, it will make sense overall in the grand scheme of things. Again, bottom of the first round, we had some mild reaches, but once you kind of get into that 20 to 50 range, even if you ask scouts, all of those prospects were kind of very similarly valuable. So if you saw a guy that was consistently getting picked number 25 in, say, mock drafts, but they went number 40, and then there's maybe a flip there to, you know, a guy who's in the 40s ended up going a lot significantly higher, the difference in those guys was never as much as you might think. Hat tip to the Orioles. They did a great job with their picks. First, they end up with Ike Irish, one of my favorite hitters in the entire draft, and they got him way down at 19. Again, that's a huge win. I understand that there's some that don't think he's going to stick at catcher. I completely understand that. But I think this is top 3 bats in the class. So, again, great for him. And then they used a lot. They had traded for a pick to with a trade that moved Brian Tucker to the Rays to get the numbers, the 37 overall pick. So between 30 and 37, they had 3 picks. And I think they did great. They brought another catcher, which raises some interesting questions about Adley Rutschman in Caden Bodine. Then they got probably the best power hitting shortstop in the class in Jaiwa Aloy. Was really surprised to not see Aloy go high in the first round until I saw this pick and realized that because his agent is Scott Boras, they probably had a bonus a bonus guarantee from the Orioles in place, and they just said they weren't going to sign unless they could beat that price, and the Orioles end up winning the day. And then they end up with prep star Slater Debron. I think that they just did a great job getting these picks together. It's a really strong class already. I'm not sure how much money they're going to have left now, because I think they had to go over slot for at least Aloy and Debron. We'll see what happens, but overall, I think they've done a great job getting that class together. And again, draft day two, rounds 4 through 20 today. It is going to be an auctioneer style. You're welcome to follow along and watch it, and also on all of our team sites at fansided.com, or also just on our Fansided network. You're going to see kind of write-ups on like the more interesting picks and keeping track of these guys. But in terms of coverage, it's leave something to be desired on this. They've condensed things down. Before we kind of get into the futures game, this is your friendly weekly reminder to subscribe to the Moonshot, our weekly baseball email newsletter, where the Fansided MLB team, including Robert Murray, myself with a prospect column almost every week, Adam Weinrib, who's currently in Atlanta and writes incredibly funny stuff, break down all the biggest stories in the big leagues with humor, insight, and behind-the-scenes info. And also, if you want to make sure you don't miss any of the written content, go to the Baseball Insiders feed on fansided.com. That's where you get all the latest rumors and notes from Robert Murray as well. Again, longer form to pieces. I've done a piece on like the Red Sox not being particularly good in terms of fishing and kind of breaking down a really funny photo of them, and as well as the best of baseball and pop culture from Fanside MLB staff writers, including Katrina Stebbins, who, if there is a movie or a TV show that is trending, you will see her do something really fun with that, involving kind of crossover into baseball. Now, the futures game. I thought it was a fun game. It wasn't quite as much offensive fireworks as I thought there was going to be. Ended up being the National League won by the score of 4-2. The biggest swing in the game, not even close, was Josue DePaula's 3-run homer. That was the difference in the game. It's why he won MVP. Unfortunately, it came at the expense of Noah Schultz, who was probably the only pitcher in the game that didn't look particularly good. Now, in terms of the pitchers that looked good on both sides, I thought J.R. Richie, who started the game for the National League, he looked really strong. Was a little effectively wild in that first inning, but overall, I think he was very impressive. But I think the guy that you we'll hear the most about from the game is Gerangelo Sinja, and it's with good reason. He is a switch pitching prospect for the Mariners, and he looked good throwing with left and right hand. We knew he was already really good from his right hand. The question was whether the switch pitching was going to be something that the Mariners continued with, because the left just wasn't quite as strong, and there was some sentiment that if he just focused on being a righty, that it would be much better for him. But it's turned out that he's looked really good pitching with both hands, and he's, again, it's really stood out in this game and really helped his stock overall, I believe. I think when we start seeing some midseason prospect ranks coming out over the next few months, we're going to see his name going significantly higher. With that, that's the futures game. Again, Josue DePaula, 3-run homer. Beyond that, it was a lot of just not a lot of offense. The pitchers kind of dominated things. But that means we get into risers and fallers from last week. Now, again, we're kind of getting into that time of year with the All-Star break that we're going to have less information, and some guys were getting breaks right before the All-Star break. But we did have three guys who I think are worth mentioning in terms of were legitimate risers for very different reasons. The first is the Astros' Bryce Matthews. We've talked about him on this podcast before, that, you know, he's one of those prospects that's kind of stuck at AAA with the number of guys that were in the infield ahead of him, and that he couldn't really break his way through the major leagues, but he was playing exceedingly well. Well, the Astros decided that they needed to bring him up and they're going to find a way to make things work. Right now, it's going to involve him playing a lot of second base, and he got the call up. Congratulations to Bryce. He'd been playing out of his mind for like 2 weeks now at AAA, and it was a deserving promotion. Didn't have the best debut, I must admit, because he had to go against Jacob DeGrom in his first game. That's big sad for him. But again, we think he's going to do great, and it's good to see him get an opportunity. The next one's a name that we've talked about a lot and we've been concerned about lately is Bubba Chandler, because he had a stretch for a little while where he just like was not himself. There was a lot of talk about him getting promoted and it didn't happen. And there's a sentiment that maybe it affected him negatively, but he's looked much better in his last two starts. Has not given up an earned run, went 6 innings last week. Again, really good job by Bubba. He seems like he's turned things around, and my guess is that we'll be seeing him in big leagues sooner rather than later. The last name is Cubs prospect Moises Ballesteros, which is a name that I have to wonder a little bit why we haven't talked about more. He kind of gets forgotten a little bit because of the number of high-end prospects in that system, combined with just there's a lot of hitting prospects that are really kind of just generally very exciting right now. So when you have a guy like Ballesteros who's just like kind of good at everything, those guys can get lost in the shuffle. He's already saw some time in the major leagues this year. That didn't go particularly well, but he's looked really good lately down at AAA and had a really big week last week, something like 11 hits or something like that. Again, really strong week out of him. As for the Fallers, I'm going to mention Jack Caglione again. The good news, he hit 2 home runs last week. We do love to see that. The bad news, those were his only 2 hits all last week. So again, we talked about it on this show before, that when you rush a guy who has issues with Chase specifically, he has never been challenged for a long period of time by guys who know how to throw stuff out of the zone that looks like it's in the zone. And now he's seeing that in the big leagues. And again, when he gets a hold of one, it's going to go 450 feet. But it's leading to some really bad swings. Even if the strikeout numbers aren't overly concerning, it's the balls that he's making contact with are ones that he shouldn't be swinging at. And he's going to have to figure out, there's going to have to be some approach things that are going to have to change if he's going to make it in the big leagues. Because right now he's just kind of a feast or famine guy, and it's mostly famine. Another name is former first-round pick Blake Mitchell from the Royals. A Royals-themed show today. But this is one of the better catching prospects in baseball. And he was widely considered to be a guy who could move relatively quickly, was kind of the heir apparent to Salvador Perez. But he didn't really hit last year, which is fine. You can kind of chalk it up to kind of a first full season jitter sort of thing. But this year he's only hitting like 224 or something like that, and didn't have a good week last week. This isn't showing much signs that the bat's going to come around. He's probably going to stick at catcher, but right now with his offensive profile, he's profiling more as a backup catcher than as an everyday or most of the time guy in a platoon. Hopefully that changes. I think he's very, very talented, and I really like the pick when they made it to begin with. But right now he's not looking so great. The last one's Chase Petty with the Reds. Excuse me. So Chase is a guy who has big-time stuff. Reds fans love him. There's been a lot of discussion about trying to get him into the big leagues and have him, let him stay there. Unfortunately, last week, not his finest hour. He did go 5 innings, I believe, but he also gave up 6 runs, including some long balls. Again, not ideal. I still like the stuff. I wouldn't be too worried about him if I was a Cincinnati fan, but at the same time, this is a guy who kind of didn't end his first half the way he wants to. And also kind of a shout out here to Noah Schultz, who again had a bad futures game, gave up all 4 runs that were given up by the American League, and hasn't looked particularly good lately. Hopefully he turns things around, because I really like those giant framed lefties that can do big things if everything's working for them. That's all we got this week. Again, it's a little bit of a shorter show without Adam here, and we can't make fun of each other. And there's also, there's a lot of very specific information that we had to get out this week, and I wanted to make sure we got it to you. But again, it's kind of the same sort of format. We'll be back next week as normal, and there's also going to be Baseball Insider shows throughout this week with Robert as well as Adam, kind of doing things down at the All-Star Game, updates from there, as well as video content that's not going to be just live show stuff that's going to be coming. So make sure you keep an eye on this feed. If you subscribe to it over there on YouTube, all you have to do is click a button, and you make sure you won't miss an episode. Thanks again to all of our supporters, and we'll see you next time.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.